Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What do you say when the Son of God dies? Today is Good Friday. It's not yet Easter. It is Friday. They've taken Jesus out to the place of a skull. They've crucified him. And he has died. One may wonder what exactly it is that makes this Friday good. What makes the gospel that we heard today good news? Jesus left there hanging on the cross with nails piercing his hands and feet, and his head bloodied from the crown of thorns, his back bloodied from the scourging. That's certainly not good news in the sense of the happily ever after ending that we like to experience in the stories or the dramas that we see play out. Yet strange as it may seem, God's good news on this Good Friday is precisely this. Jesus Christ, God's own Son, died for us. We often have a tendency to rush quickly ahead to the end of a story. We like to get to the good part, the resolution of all the tension and the friction. So we may want to close our eyes and hold our breath until all the suffering of Lent and of Holy Week and of Good Friday is over, and it's safe to come out again on Easter with the lilies and the bright lights and the chocolate bunnies and the Easter eggs and the resurrection. But the gospel writer paints a picture that we cannot avoid, like the story of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite who quickly crossed to the other side to avoid being confronted with the sight of that man who had been beaten half to death and left there bloodied on the side of the road. The picture before us has our Lord Jesus on the cross. And above his head on the cross is the title, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now, as we read, the chief priests and the leaders of the Jewish people complained to the Roman governor Pontius Pilate about this inscription. Jesus was not their king, they said. Not their king. And to call this crucified one the King of the Jews was a major insult to them, they felt. Pilate's response was simple. What I have written, I have written. Perhaps given the chance, we also might have voiced some complaints. Of all the episodes in Jesus' life, this one seems to be the strangest at which to acclaim him as king. Wouldn't that title have been a bit more appropriate for the Jesus who fed the multitudes of people miraculously, or the Jesus who was transfigured on the mountain speaking with Moses and Elijah, his appearance shining with his glory as God? Or best of all, the Jesus who entered Jerusalem in triumph on Palm Sunday. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Yes, Jesus is sitting on a throne, enthroned, but his throne on this day is a cross. And the positions that would normally be positions of honor on his right and on his left are on this day occupied by common criminals. Yes, Jesus is crowned, but his crown is not a gold and jewel-decked crown of a king as we would picture it, but a crown of thorns. Can this beaten man, this humbled and crucified one, really be our king? Let's turn our attention for a moment to the soldiers there at the foot of his cross. As far as they were concerned, Jesus was nobody's king, not the Jews and certainly not theirs. He was just another person being executed, just another criminal whose personal belongings were now theirs to do with whatever they liked. And so the soldiers divided Jesus' garments among themselves and they separated his life and death from any possible meaning for themselves and their lives. our problem with Jesus' kingship exists at two levels. First, we don't fully understand the cross. We don't understand how suffering and dying can really be the marks of a king. But worse than that, to the extent that we do understand the cross, so often we reject it. We want nothing to do with it. We don't like to see suffering and pain in our lives or in the lives of others, certainly not our loved ones. We refuse to accept it. We spend our lives, so much time and money, trying to avoid and eliminate suffering and death. And so can we really accept what it means that Jesus Christ had to die for us? And that therefore true life for us can only flow out of death, out of his death. Can we trust him? Can we have faith? Or do we sometimes look for another way, for a forgotten loophole or a shortcut around the cross of Good Friday? But God tells us that there is no other way than the cross. There is no other way. And so despite our desire to skip over all the suffering and the gore and the bloodiness of Good Friday, despite our desire perhaps to skip right ahead to the joy of Easter and that glory, we must go the way of the cross. We must hear our Savior cry out, "It is finished." When John writes that Jesus has said, "It is finished," he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. He's not simply just flashing the words, "the end," on the screen as we see sometimes at the end of a movie. Rather, he is saying, "It is completed. It is fulfilled." Everything that God had promised about the salvation of the world and the work of the Messiah for that salvation is fully complete. Imagine the writer of the gospel still with his pen in hand, and after he has written in large letters, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews," as the caption to the picture that he is painting with his words of the crucified God-man, he is now underlining those words and adding exclamation points all around them. "It is finished. This is it. This is the completion for which we have been waiting, for which all creation has been waiting ever since that first sin had been committed in the Garden of Eden. This is our salvation. Here and now, today on this very cross, God, through Christ, is reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us. It is finished. It is accomplished. This is certain." That is the good news. It is certain today, and we can begin proclaiming it right now. We don't have to wait until Easter Sunday to celebrate God's victory for us. Indeed, we must not wait at all. Shout it out. "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, our King, has accomplished God's mighty work of salvation there on the cross." But if the King himself dies, what does that say about us, his subjects? Well, it seems that we too must die. Of course, the king shows us that to die is not the end of the story. Death, through Jesus, has lost its sting. The grave is no longer a threat. But of course, dying is still easier said than done for most of us. Again, we like Easter better than Good Friday. It seems so much happier. We want the glory and the lilies and the lights for Jesus and for ourselves, and we want them now. We want to be winners. We want a God who looks like a winner. We want everyone to see that we and our God are winners. But Jesus is the only Savior we have been given. He is the one into whose likeness we are being changed. Jesus, the crucified one. Through this man, God comes to us. On this cross, God is most for us, triumphing over our death and destruction. It is finished. We still have to read the story through to the last page, each one of us, but we know how it ends for Jesus and for ourselves as well. In his death, there is life. In our deaths, there is also life because we die with him, in him, and into him. Mary and John, there at the foot of the cross, understood that. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, this disciple, John, took her into his own home. At that time, Mary and John couldn't have understood everything that was going on, but they didn't need to. They didn't question, they didn't resist. They simply let that will of Jesus be carried out in their lives. Earlier in his ministry, Jesus had said to his disciples that the greatest expression of love that someone could have was to lay down their life for their friends. That's hard to accept and even harder to actually do. Most of us hope that we'll never, ever be put in that position of having to lay down our life, to die for another human being, even for a friend or a loved one. But it is just as hard, if not harder, for me to lay down my life for someone, so to speak, while I am still living. To put my own life at your disposal, to put your preferences ahead of my own. This is what the Christian is called to do daily. Jesus died for us so that we can live. Jesus died for us so that we can die. Die to ourselves, to our self-centeredness, to our sinful nature. Die for others. Die at the end of our lives and die all throughout our lives. Die in him and die into life with him. The cross of Good Friday shows us how Christ is King and how we are his. The cross of Good Friday empowers us with new life, his new life. For Jesus, death was not the end of his life, but the fulfillment of his mission. And for us who are in him through faith in him as our Savior, his death, his and ours, is also not the end of life, but its true beginning, now and forever.